Yeah, grab a chair. Whoa, I'm on. Wow. Thank you, man. You get me crying before we get started here. Just having good fellowship in Jesus. When you sit beside a like heart, it's pretty easy to talk and get passionate, isn't it? Well, I get that way if your heart's not like mine, but but still, that was a good time hanging out with you. Man, thank you, worship guys, the girls. What a team, huh? They take up a whole section. Look at that. That's thorough. That was a good time, man. We ended on a high note, didn't we? Wasn't that awesome? Shoo. Well, look, we're going to have fun. We're going to preach the gospel in the kingdom. Did you enjoy that video there when they were worshiping? Now, look, them people looked excited and happy, and I'm not saying one thing negative about this. That's the way it can always be. You don't learn to just do that when it's church. Now look, I didn't come here to be hard with you. I'm not here to spank nobody. It's just easy to shout and lift both hands when the music is so right. And I like it, but there's a place to live that way, and that's powerful. When we're living that life, that corporate worship is going to be so powerful. There's going to be a synergism and an outpouring of God's Spirit through just us being in Him. I mean, where that what you saw, where that's coming out of your everyday victory of just knowing who you are in Him. Not because your circumstances agree with everything you wish, but because you know Him and He's changed you on the inside. You're looking through His eyes. Your motives are pure. You're living from His heart. Where you're encouraged in the face of it all. Because He's in you and you're in Him and you're called to shine. Amen? I just want to inform you. Listen, I don't know your background. I don't know where you came from. But I want to right out of the gate just say this because it's on my heart really big. We are not Christians for a blessing, for just a breakthrough, for just a smooth circumstance or a better day. Come on. We're Christians to shine. Yes. Yes. When nobody's treating you right, you're a Christian to be like Him. You're not a Christian to pray that everybody changes and treats you right. You're a Christian to be like Him when they're not treating you right. Somewhere along the line, a lot of us got the idea that this thing is about what God can do for us instead of how He can make us more like Him. This has never been just about a blessing and a favor and a gift from God. It's always been about a new life. Read your Bible. It's always about change from the inside. It's always about old things passing away and everything becoming new. It's about new life through Jesus Christ. That doesn't just mean you're going to live forever. That means you're changed forever. Come on, if you clean the inside of the cup, the outside's already clean. You don't have to polish up so much when you're polished on the inside. It's just right. Sorry if I'm looking flaky right now. I just feel happy about that truth. Because you don't have to live plastic. And some of us got the idea along the way because of life apart from Him, that what I'm preaching is extreme or denial or not accepting reality. Man, we better be careful. We better be careful we haven't let life be our instructor instead of the giver of it.
Come on.
Be real careful you haven't let somebody else's circumstance or your own decide truth for you. Look, the Bible says, if I live by the Spirit, I won't even fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Don't tell me I'm damned to the flesh. I'm created to live by the Spirit. You say, yeah, but brother, everybody has those days. Take away the runway. Take away the landing strip. And the plane won't come in. What you believe, what you understand and see is what you become. If the way that seems right to a man keeps being your wisdom, it always leads to death and nothing. And when you say, yeah, but brother, everybody has their moments. Take away that belief and you'll see those moments go away. You don't have to be hurt when somebody does you wrong. You were taught that way by life, by the fall of man. You were instructed that way by the Spirit and the wisdom of this age. Life taught you that from the time you were little. Fighting over a toy. Mine, no, mine. And you get it out of the other kid's hand, poof. That isn't the way God made it. That's the way it became when man lived apart from Him. Let's stop letting the way we were taught and trained be the truth about our lives. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were born into Adam, and it's time to get born into Him. You guys with me? Come on, I'm real passionate about this because I'm just done with just seeing people believe in lies. I'm going to talk it plain and let it just fall where it may, and you can sort it out. But my Bible says follow Him. And I'm going to, and that's not some legalistic, rigid rule that I'm following. It just means the life I see in Him is the life that can be in me. The motive that I see in Him, making Himself of no reputation, having that same mind in me. Come on, guys, we have lived for reputation. What took Him to the cross is He sought none. We care so much about what people think. Why? Because we were born into insecurity and a lost identity, and we didn't know who we were from that time, and we're trying to find ourselves along the way. And life is telling us who we are. Relationships is telling us who we are. Our past and our history on this earth is trying to tell us who we are. And the truth about you is in Him. You say, well, I'm only this way because it was this way. Well, wonder if the truth can come in and crush all that and give you a brand new day, a brand new life where you put old things away and put all new things on. Wonder if you don't need 20 years of psychology and a justification for being less than truth. Wonder if you can just decide in your heart, that was a lie designed to rob me. This is the truth and who I really am. I'm stepping out of darkness into the light. Are you following me? You just can't get caught up in this stuff. It's so easy because we were trained by this lie. The way that seems right to man has been the universal wisdom of our lives, guys. We've been taught by it. People do us wrong and we tell a friend and they don't mean anything bad about it, but they're carrying pain too. So they say, oh, honey, I'm sorry they did that to you. I can't believe they did it to you. You must be so hurt. Let's pray. You turn it spiritual, but there's no help in God. We're still all beat up and hurt. And we're all decided by one another, yet one greater lives inside of me. And all of a sudden, we're only doing as good as men are treating us. And only doing as good as things are going. Instead of as good as the one that's inside of me to stay. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Not how things went earlier today. Are you guys all right? I'll smile the whole time. Don't get mad at that. It's good if somebody talks this straight if they smile at least. Unless you'd rather me look mad. I'm not mad. I'm just telling you, we've been robbed and deceived by a lot of things. We've come into Christ. We're sincere. We didn't wake up to be hypocrites. Guys, you aren't here on a Friday night because you're playing games with God. I don't believe that. I believe we're here because we want Him and want to know Him like we just sang. Because something happened in the room when you sang that song. Didn't it? Oh, it was really good. Thank you. But it was something happened in the room. Did you all feel that something happened in the room? Look, I'm not talking to a bunch of hypocrites or game players. I'm talking to people that are sincere. We didn't wake up to be evil and miss God today. It's the little foxes that spoil the precious fruit of the vine. It's the things that we don't... You were taught your whole life what you don't know won't hurt you. You heard that phrase growing up. And what you don't know is destroying you. It's the total opposite. You heard don't get your hope up, and it's the total opposite. Get your hope sky high. Because faith is the substance of everything you're hoping for, and hope is the anchor of your soul. And yet you were taught not to get your hope up. That's self-preservation. There's no help there. Well, don't get your hope up. I'd hate to see you disappointed. And all of a sudden, we're trained to never pursue faith. Just strip a man of hope and faith is crushed. Come on. We were taught this stuff. Well, what you see is... See, they talk that way in Florida. Y'all knew where I was going. Somebody heard that before. Somebody was taught that. What you see is what you... Somebody heard that in the room or you couldn't have answered me. You'd have went, what's he saying? It's a universal language, but it's not the kingdom. What you see is what you get. The Bible says don't ever live by what you see. It's subject to change. Live by the things that are unseen. They're eternal. the total opposite. Total opposite. Well, you made your bed. Y'all did talk that way down here in the panhandle, didn't you? That language snuck all the way down here in this beautiful tropical place. I bet there's a scheme out there. I bet there's a plan out there to rob men of truth. Well, you made your bed. You got a lie in it. Wonder if he made you a brand new one. Wonder if the sheets are clean. Wonder if nobody slept there before. Wonder if you can crawl in there with him. Wonder if things can be brand new. Wonder if he can take the old away and bring the new. Wonder if he really can call you out of darkness and into the light. Wonder if Galatians 6 is true, that nothing avails anything but a new creation. Come on, I'm just talking to mindsets and motives and perspectives right now, just a little bit. What you don't know won't hurt you. The Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting, not some of you're getting, all you're getting. And he didn't say blessing. He said, in all you're getting, get understanding. Must be important to see. What you don't know won't hurt you. What a lie from hell. You hear how self-preserving that is? A lot of people don't want to know the stuff because they don't know how to handle it. So they don't want to hear the bad stuff because they don't want to know how to handle it. God sees everything all at once and he's okay. It's because he's love. And love gives and serves to bring out the best in what it loves. So God didn't wake up for you to break his heart today. Because he didn't wake up, he doesn't slumber. Did any of you catch that? The day didn't start with God positioned for you to break his heart. The day started with God loving you through the crucifixion of his son and the resurrection from the dead. And the sitting at the right hand. God started the day through Christ saying, I love you even if you don't know who you are or why. Do you know how many of us are good people serving in ministry, go to church, and could be on that video whooping it up in an atmosphere that's awesome and get hurt a half hour later through a lack of understanding and let what a person said trump everything you experienced? Come on, the gospel's way greater than that. There's so many of us living with offense, and the Bible says that we can be perfected in love and live without offense till he comes. I'm just not going to permit you, without me challenging it this weekend, to believe that offense is normal. It's not normal. Heaven doesn't even know what we're doing. Come on, we all want to say your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're always talking miracles, powers, signs, and wonders. What about the heart of God? And we say, well, cancer isn't in heaven and it can't be on the earth. And we're always using that phrase and that scripture about the power of God. What about the heart of God? There's no offense in heaven. Well, then why is it so permissible here? Because we were trained by it. Well, you don't know what they said to me. Well, why do you let that trump what he did for you? Why do you let that trump from what he said to you through his son? Why do you let what one human being said matter more than what he's accomplished? It's because somewhere along the line, many of us got the idea that he did that for us instead of for our transformation. That he just did that for our well-being. Some of us lay personal claim to Jesus and confess him and cut off others. If you do that, you don't even know him. You just claim him. It's a survival mechanism. The Bible says if you don't have love, you don't know him. That's not my sermon. It doesn't say you don't see your need for a Savior. It doesn't say you're not sincere. It doesn't say that you don't love Jesus for the cross. But it means you don't understand that you're created to be in his image and be made his love. You can be so innocent and just think it's all about God helping you, all about God getting you through the day, all about God changing everybody around you so they treat you better. Do you know how many people pray that stuff? They just pray for their boss to change instead of loving their boss. And after their boss doesn't change, they pray for a new job. Come on! No compassion for the boss. Just, what a knucklehead. Can't stand working here. God, I don't know why you let him spew on me every day. I thought you loved me. Why do you let him trash me like that? Change him. And God's like, you change. See him different. I love that guy. I've got blood paid for him. I'm crying out for him. Why aren't you crying too? See, you've been taught by life to cry because of people. Jesus wants to teach you to cry for people. I'm telling you, the gospel changed me about 20 years ago. Not 20 months. This zeal isn't 20 months old, ready to fade. It's 20 years old. Because everything I'm telling you is true. And life is fun in God. And I'm not ready to die and go be with Him. I'm ready to live and be with Him. Like, ready to live and be with Him. Do you get it? Like, I am not ready for the great escape. Jesus, come get us out of the darkness. Darkness is the absence of light, church. And ye are the light of the world. Probably wouldn't be cool to pray to escape. See, when you pray for Jesus to get you out of here, you're just saying to heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. I've had enough. Do you hear how self-serving that is? That is not why Jesus shed his blood on the cross, to keep you self-centered and self-serving. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 16. He said, if any man come after me, that means the door is open to all. If any man come after me, let him deny, pick up his, follow me. What's first on the list? Why deny yourself first? You were never made for you. Read your Bible. You're made for His image. We're trying to find who we are along the way. Be real. In third grade, somebody laughs at you at the lunch table. Two other kids chime in and giggle, and you're devastated. And you become one of two things in that moment. You become a fighter or introverted. You become broken or hard. And that stuff just keeps chipping away. And chipping away, and chipping away. And all of a sudden, by the time you're 15, 18, everything you are is a product of everything that's been. And it's how you came through it. That's who you are in that moment. And Jesus wants you brand new. You can't bring all that into the kingdom. You go, wow, that was all a lie, a false identity. It was me not understanding. Whoa, that's cool. Let's cut that thing. Don't need to talk about it. Don't need to pray about it. Don't need some great deliverance. I just need to go, whoa. None of that is the truth about who I am. And the insecurity it produced and the things I did, it was all hinged on a lie. But the truth's come now. So I'm going to continue in the truth, and the truth's going to make me free. I'm brand new. Come on, that's how simple the gospel is. You know, we're going to look back and look back. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through, brother. What about what he's been through? Why aren't we talking about that? Did he go through what he went through for you to fix on what you've been through? Or to be changed through what he went through? Did you get that, or is that a tongue twister? Are you all right? Come on. We're looking back. We're told not to look back. We're looking back all the time. I've been Christian 20 years. People are looking back all the time. Man, let's stop looking back. There's nothing there. See, yeah, but there's strongholds, brother. Yeah, but there's hooks in us. It doesn't have to be. Faith and understanding and getting a new eye can take it all away. Just believing the gospel can change everything. Just getting alone one day and just believing that He has translated you into the kingdom of the Son of His love by setting you free from the power of darkness. Wow, you've made me free. Rather than continuing to believe you're bound, live by a feeling, get ministry over and over and over, and be more convinced you're bound because you don't feel better. What about what you believe? And then what you feel becomes your belief system, so you stay sensual and you're never spirit-led. I hope you guys are with me. Come on, that's straight up stuff right there. People in a true, sincere attempt to help you are trying to minister to you without taking away the sensuality and imparting truth. And all of a sudden, you're only as good as you're feeling. So you need ministry a lot. You wake up in the morning, you need prayer just to get through because, oh no, it's going to be one of those days. I can feel it coming on. You don't need prayer. You need truth that makes you free. It's time to lift your hands to God when nobody's looking and start declaring truth and prophesy over your day and separate yourself from the lie. You know, I'm not a misfit. I'm not somebody trying to make it. I'm not somebody that was touched wrong. I'm not a victim. I'm a child of God, and you're inside of me, and you've empowered me to shine. And thank you for this life in Christ. That sure beats, help me. Can you pray for me? I understand there's a time when people need help and people need you to wrap their arm around. There's a time, but Christians that have been Christians for a long time need to talk to straight like this. Not in insensitivity, in truth and love. There's a better answer than camping there. I've had people say, but Dan, you talk so plain, you don't know. It's unfair because you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. I'm like, we're not even talking about when you were growing up. We're talking about now that He's come. Because when you put yourself in that position, you protect yourself from the truth ever making you free. And then what you do is you make it all about what we've been through, and now it's just our story. Because you say you don't know what I've been through, but how unfair is that to yourself? You don't know what somebody else has been through. You don't know what I've been through. Wonder if my story's more dramatic and worse. And you just see passion in me and freedom and excitement or whatever you see. Keep it to yourself. And you think because I'm a certain way, I must have had an easier ride. Wonder if it's just faith in Christ. Wonder if it's believing truth. Truth makes you free. Look, why are we looking back anyway? I heard this in my heart about 6 months ago. Why are we looking back? We're not Lot's wife. We're His wife. Yeah, but Dan, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. No, and I'm sorry it was like that. It must have been bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry people didn't have a revelation, didn't have an understanding, and I'm sorry that things got passed down and are trying to get passed down to another generation. But why don't we draw a line right now and say, whoa, wait a minute. Christ, in the midst of all that chaos, You came and died on the cross. You are the Savior. You are the Anointed One. You love me. You call me out of this thing. You separate me. This was a strategy and a lie to crush me, to crush my identity, to make me insecure, to devalue me, to make my esteem rock bottom and get me to live up to the low value. I'm done with that. I'm coming out and coming into new life. I have nothing to prove. I have You to gain. And I thank You for teaching me from this place. I'm not going to see myself as a sexual abuse victim anymore. I'm not going to see myself as a daddy that didn't love me. I'm not going to see myself as a mama that didn't care and wanted to abort me. You died for me. Now, you don't do that and harden your heart towards those things and claim Him. You do that and realize that if people really knew who they were and what they were doing and knew your value, they wouldn't have did what they did. So we must be all deceived. Come on, if men knew who they were, they wouldn't live the way they've lived. If men really knew who they were, they wouldn't do what they did. So why are we so hard? They can't make up for it. How can they make up for it? Come on, unforgiveness keeps the offense alive. Forgiveness settles everything. That's what makes God so amazing in His love. He doesn't empower you to stay the same. He empowers you to change. Come on, I'm using the love of God to stay in sin. I've received the love of God to be free. I didn't wake up and find a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free from it. Come on. So I'm not going to preach some gospel that doesn't bring transformation, that just brings a sentimental, comfortable peace to your heart for a moment. No, it brings change forever. That's what's wrong with me. I'm telling you. 20 years in, it's still wrong with me. Life hasn't had the ability to take this. I see this leave people because of traffic. Hello? I'm being real. I've seen our joy hinge on a lot of things that have nothing to do with Him. And if that's happening, it's time to expose that to your own conscience and go, whoa, that's a snare. I'm set up, man. I'm being dictated and defined by things that have nothing to do with truth. I'm done living in that yo-yo roller coaster life. I don't care how free the ride is. It ain't fun and it ain't free in the long run. Come on. Listen, if I had to tell you my story and you had to be sensitive and understand and walk me through all that and I had to listen to your story, all of a sudden we've missed the whole focus. We're singing it's all about heaven on earth, but we're making it all about the hell we've been through. But we sing it's all about heaven, but we make it all about the hell we've been through. So what we do is we make what happened to us greater than what happened to Him. And we don't realize what we're doing. You say, yeah, but that hurt me. I understand that hurt you, but there's a time where that hurt can change by seeing through truth. Actually finding a place of compassion, releasing people, forgiving people, understanding that if they understood, things would be different. Understanding that it's the strategy of sin trying to strangle you and choke you and keep you from destiny and make you somehow a twisted product of the thing you're loathing. See, we've been taught when we don't agree with people just to cut them off. Who knows that's true? You can't get along, just cut them off. Act like they're not even on the earth. So the whole time you're doing that, they're deciding who you are. The whole time you're living that way, they're the potter behind your life. They're the reason for you being that way. So you might as well sing their Lord, because they're governing your life. And you're a product of whatever you're despising. Come on, guys. You say, man, I didn't come to hear this. I don't know what you came to hear. But I'm going to get on a plane, and I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to stay this way. So I might as well try to leave something here just to give you to run with that thing. You see what I'm saying? Listen, I want you to know this too. I didn't come talking like this because of where you're not. I come talking like this because it's what we're called to and it's who we are. I'm not, where you're at right now isn't really even my concern or business. I'm just speaking what I see, what I understand, and what's changed my life to show us what we're called to. God never inspires somebody to talk like I talk. So you leave here going, boy, I got a long way to go. It's so you leave here and go, boy, I got direction tonight. I've been letting some things rob me and cheat me of my disposition, my heart, my emotions, and I'm done being deceived. Man, I laid it all over and rolled it all over on God, and now I'm just receiving of His love. I have a brand new, fresh start, and man, I have a fresh eye. I'm excited. Some of us, it'd be good to just really, truly be excited to wake up in the morning and not try to get through. Here we go again, Shabba. And you pray out some words and hope something magic happens. Come on, guys. You know the scenario, some of you. The alarm. Oh, no. God, 6 o'clock already. Oh, God, I'm going to need your grace today. Come on. And all of a sudden you say, well, yeah, I prayed this morning. No, self-conscious ball of flesh, spiritualizing things and not being helped a lick. Is that too harsh? Is that? I have to show you something. I went, you guys all right? It'd be a shame if you weren't, because I'm having so much fun. I just like watching people's faces sometimes. It's like you're in a deliverance meeting without having an order call. It's just fun. I got every face in view. I mean, I got the best seat in the house. It's just a deliverance meeting. It's just fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's just fun. So, I want to lay a foundation of why I'm talking this way. Okay, would you guys agree? Do you understand what I mean when I say we've been taught by the world? We've been taught by the wisdom of man from the time you can remember. Come on. You just sheer instinct, sheer nature. We were born into Adam. So everything Adam became through separation from God, what we call the fall of man, Pastor, everything Adam became, we were born into. Do you guys know that's true? Yeah. Romans 5 teaches it real clear. Yeah. We were born into Adam, and you must be born. We turn born again into a prayer that takes us to heaven through the forgiveness of sins instead of heaven coming back into us. We've made born again a confession, a prayer called the prayer of salvation to get my name in a book so that if I die tonight on the way home, I have life. That's what we've made the gospel. It's not even the intention of the gospel. Of course he restores life, but he wants to transform your life. He wants to put who he is back inside of you. This isn't a confession that you've sinned so you're saved. If you go to if you die, you go to heaven and not hell. How self-serving is that motive? If that's your only motive, how can you have intimacy with God? You could pray that prayer just in case the preacher's right. And have no repentance in your heart at all. And just say, well, if this guy's right, I might as well pray the prayer. I got nothing to lose, man. We ain't got no promises. Somebody runs a light out there, I'm covered. This is not the point. We have made new life through Christ. We've made the goal, are you saved? Meaning, did you pray that prayer? Is your name in the book? We've made it about us going to heaven someday instead of heaven coming into us. That's why he said, deny yourself. You were never made for you. I promise you, I will show it to you. You already know it. It is in Genesis. I preach this stuff all the time. God said, let us make man. What? In our image. In our own likeness. And the next verse says he did it. Verse 26 says he talked about it. Verse 27 says he did it. So guess what? The created value, purpose, and intention of man being on the earth is where God's concerned. Why did God put man on the earth? For his image to be revealed. He put who he is in man and gave us flesh so flesh can manifest and reveal what's inside. Let us make man in our... He didn't say, I know everybody says God made us to worship him. Don't get concerned. It doesn't say, let us make man so they can worship us. When you live in God's image, it's the highest worship to God. It's the greatest honor you can ever give God. When a man that's made in the image of God, that has the right to live in the flesh, that has a free will to live in the flesh and the wisdom of the world, and he chooses to renounce that and put on Christ and live by the Spirit, what an honor and a realm of worship to God. It makes your song way more powerful. Look, I can sing intimate songs about knowing him all day long and they sound cool and intriguing and inviting and they stir a heart, but I can have intimacy and relationship and then when I sing those songs, they come from a whole nother place. I can study my Bible because each seed produces after its own kind. It's the first law, seed time and harvest time. I can read my Bible to preach a sermon to you and stir your knowledge, or I can live this thing, pour out my heart, and it can go into your heart and produce the same thing. That's why Jesus was different than those scholars and teachers. And they said, no one's ever talked like this. There's guys that said, man, my heart burned when he was talking. Why? Because he is the revelation. Anybody can read their Bible and preach a sermon if they study long enough. Some people have more ability to be oracle and express and keep attention. And you can go to school to learn that stuff. And I'm not against it, but I'm saying anybody can preach a sermon if you read your Bible. You can do that and not even know God. Why would somebody even do that? Because of what they draw from doing that. It's a shortcut. They're getting their identity from what they do for God or what they appear to be in God instead of get their identity from being in Christ. And that's why people live up and down. And that's why people ride high for a while and crash. That's why people get burned out, tired, frustrated, hurt, or bail out. Because you never came into it from the right place, or that place switched while you were in there. Come on, man. How can this cup go dry when he's anointed my head and my cup runneth over? If you were drinking out of my cup, I could probably go dry. But you're not. I'm not ministering to you. I'm having fun. I'm not like, boy, that was, man, tough ministering. When the anointing lifted, I was beat. I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, my goodness. See, because you're not drinking out of my cup, you get to play in the saucer. That's probably about the best we can do. You're not drinking out of my cup. My cup runneth over. You can't burn me out. You're not wearisome to me. People don't wear me out. God loves people. I met pastors that said, pastoring would be awesome if it wasn't for the people. There would be no pastors if it wasn't the people. There's pastors because of the people. Not to get frustrated by them. Not to put expectations and demands on them. What's a shepherd do? Doesn't God call leaders shepherds in the Bible? Doesn't he call Jesus the great shepherd? Good, great shepherd? It's not a bad word. Just because people overused the word in the 80s and just because there was stuff along the way, don't throw everything away. Don't get in a pendulum and go to the extreme. Preach a little bit of law? So go ahead and just preach some sloppy grace. No. Find where Jesus is. Don't get so mad that he's preaching law that you're going to preach some grace that crosses the line and has nothing to do with transformation. Just a permission slip to live in the flesh and, hey, God loves me and knows my heart. Stop that. Grace is here to change me. Grace is the etching tool of God. It's the work of Holy Spirit. It's what changes me. You preach grace apart from transformation, it will be perverted. There's people that are so targeting the word grace now and preaching against the word grace because of the extremes of the use of the word grace that they get this pendulum thing. And now when I hear or even hears the word grace, oh, he's a grace preacher. Oh, he's a grace preacher. No, he's a gospel preacher. Come on. We are what we are by the grace of God. You're saved by grace through faith. It's always been about grace. Just because someone perverted it doesn't make it a bad word. And then people that mean well and try to protect overspeak. And then when somebody's using the word grace, people turn off because warning, warning. I've been warned about grace. And we're constantly defeating ourselves in our attempt to protect ourselves. That's what happens. Call it a pendulum. Yeah, it's the same thing. There's a place for the blessing of the Lord, Pastor. There's a place for provision. But then you get perverted with it, and then other ministers see the perversion, so they preach against it. And there's somewhere right here that Jesus is, where we could be too. Listen, grace, you're saved by grace through faith, not of your works. The work of faith and the works of your salvation come through the revelation of being saved by grace. So your life changed. You're going to be judged for your works, not saved by your works. So your life response to what you believe and see defines what you really believe and see. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, your life lived defines what you really believe. Your life lived The way you live every day defines your revelation. You follow me? But you can't get away from this. You're saved by grace through faith. So when you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make that truth your reality. Open your eyes and cause you to see. When you don't feel loved by God, but you look to the cross and the gospel and the stone rolled away and the resurrected Son, and you say, wait a minute, I'm done being deceived by emotions and feelings that I was trained by. I am done believing lies and feelings and that. Yeah, but I don't feel love. I am done with that. You love me, God. You have to love me or you'd have never sent your Son. What does the Son on the cross say other than, I love you, I know who you are, and you're worth my blood. I receive your love. Come on. When a Christian would just stand there and do that, when nobody's looking, he's one of two things. He's either out of his mind, needs to get a life, or he's on to something. I like those odds. Come on, when I'm alone in a room talking to Jesus, I'm either talking to the air, and I'm a wacko, and I need to get a hobby or something. Or Jesus is in the room, and I'm on to something. It's one or the other. You can't talk me out of the other now. Did you get it? Do you see the power of believing versus the power of feeling? Come on. Most of the time we pray because of how we feel. You wake up in the morning and you think you need prayer. No. You need to soak yourself in truth and proclaim truth and let truth fill your heart, and out of your heart speak truth. Believe with your heart and make confession out of your mouth unto salvation. You don't get up and say, I'm going to call Sister Sally. I need prayer. I don't feel good. You haven't even talked to Jesus. And all of a sudden, if Sister Sally's not sharp, she's just going to pray for you. Oh, poor honey, let me pray. Peace of heaven. And then you go, ooh, Sally. You just walking in it, girl. I tell you, I'm glad I got you in my life. And then you're going to walk as far as that little ooze is going to carry you. And then you're going to be back on with Sister Sally. Whoa, Sally, what would I do without you? And if Sally's not careful, she's in a trap because she's drawing her identity out of you needing her. And all of a sudden, she's a prayer warrior. And all of a sudden, God moves through her prayer. And all of a sudden, she has a place because you need her. That's all this stuff happens all the time. All the time. Am I telling the truth, Pastor? What about you waking up and not being afraid of faith? Not taking the negative teachings we've heard about denial, blab it, name it, claim it, grab it, nab it. Whatever we've done. You take something that was misappropriated and then you shut down the truth so it can't make you free. Why are you afraid of faith when the just live by faith and it's impossible to please God without faith? Not because he's a legalist, because he can't flow with you and you can't flow with him and lets you see how he sees. How can two walk together, lest they? So why do we always force ourselves to positions of mercy instead of live by grace? All of a sudden we just need mercy all the time. Why don't we just live in grace where we're one with him? And we're growing up into him in all things. And even if we ain't getting everything right, man, our hearts are sincere. We're repentant and we're moving forward because you love me. Why is that hard? Well, but you don't know what it's like on my job. Bah! That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Nothing. You needing all your ducks in a row is deception. No one's ducks are in a row. No one. There's always something you wish was different. And it doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about. I don't have joy in my heart because my ducks are in a row. Come on. That would be making my ducks Lord. And if the devil ever realizes that something determines your joy more than knowing Him and walking in Him and living in Him, then that's the target. And then it keeps getting pummeled. And you say, why is God letting all this happen to me? He's not. You're positioned for it. Because you're being destroyed for what you don't see and understand. Come on, I'm just talking plain. You all right? Come on. Don't just get used to messages that bless you in the sense of personal healing, personal gain, personal prophecy. Wow, I feel better now. No, these kind of messages to me are life because they'll teach you how to live out every day and not get snared by the little foxes and just put on a new perspective. And if God can change my eye, He can change my whole life. The eye of the body, or the lamp of the body is the... So the lamp of the body is the... Wow. So if I see clear and my eye's healthy, my whole body's flooded with... Unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues. It doesn't say that. I'm going to get extreme with it, okay? The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is single, the whole body's flooded with light, unless your spouse just cheated on you. Because people will take one tragedy like that and it'll rule the next 25 years. And it's deception. And the saddest thing is that sometimes all we know how to do is sympathize with them because we know we'd be just as crushed too. So we can't even help them because we're mere people and we claim we're just flesh. See, people that are in pain can't help people in pain. You can only sympathize. You okay? All you can say, am I okay or is this a shock collar thing? I mean... Whoa! I was a little nervous. I've been in some shock collar churches. And video people are intense, man. They make sure you don't cross. They got tape. They're like, you can't step out of this box. And if you do, I'm like, I won't. Did you see how I was stopping? Because I saw that black line. I'm trained. I was trying to obey house rules. But there is none. It's not good. There actually is a camera and I'm making her job very hard. I just realized that. See how the love of God is so sensitive. I jumped right back up here because I thought of you immediately. I have no clue what I'm doing right now. Okay. When somebody comes to you and says, man, I just need to tell you this so you can pray. And I just feel like I need to, so I'm confiding. And you're like, okay. And they say, well, so and so, they just did this to me. I can't believe they did. And you start crying. And you're looking for their response because you're hurt. What you want is their support, but their support is their sympathy. It'll never change you. It'll never heal you. You're licking wounds that'll never heal. And if you go to the... It's amazing how people in pain draw to people in pain. And then the people in pain that they draw to sympathize with them and believe sincerely they're helping them. Because they say, honey, she did what? Oh my goodness, honey, she should know better. Yeah, I know. Oh, baby, come here. No, God, comfort her. And all of a sudden you spiritualize it and turn into a prayer time. Jesus is not there. It has nothing to do with His heart. It's not compassion. It's human sympathy. Pain responding to pain. Knowing that if you were in their shoes, you'd feel that way too. So you're having sympathy. Empathy. It's not the compassion of the Lord. All of a sudden you wrap their arm around them and say, oh honey, I can't believe they did that to you. I can't imagine how you must feel. We've got to pray for God to mend your heart. And then you pray this long prayer that sounds spiritual. Has nothing to do with teaching them the heart of God and who Jesus is in the midst. It's just all about your well-being, you feeling better, you feeling sorry for yourself. Don't throw nothing. Come on. Who's felt that way before? Do you know what the gospel taught me 20 years ago? I'm not ashamed to tell you this. Time will tell I'm telling the truth. One day time will reveal I'm telling the truth. So I'm either an arrogant man right now, or I know what I'm telling you. 20 years ago, the gospel taught me to never again feel sorry for myself. And it's made me so free, it's ridiculous. I realized that you were never my problem, even though I thought you were. And I realized if he could get me free from me, he could get me free from you and step me into love and victory. And all of a sudden I wake up and you don't owe me a thing. Because I didn't wake up for you to serve me. I woke up to love you, period. You get this? And all of a sudden I understand why I'm born again. I'm not born again to receive blessings from the Lord. I'm not born again for you to treat me right and give me honor. I'm born again to love you with my life, to forgive you, to show you mercy, to make peace. I'm born again to follow him and be like him, not to have a Christian party, to be like him. In being like him, that is the party. Because all of a sudden you don't even take account of suffered wrongs. All of a sudden the Bible trains you and the Holy Spirit in the Word teaches you and changes you to be different. All of a sudden you're not even trying to be okay. You're just okay and don't know how to not to be. And all of a sudden you cry more and love him more because you know 10 years ago you'd have been a wreck and now you don't even know how to be a wreck.
Oh, that's so good.
Why? Because you really want this and you really get alone with him and say, I'm ready for this. I don't want to hold back anything. I don't want anything for me, myself, and I. I'm not going to say one thing and be another thing and live at the expense of truth and others. I'm going to lay down my life and follow you, King Jesus. And ain't nobody in the room but you. That's because you're serious. Come on, I'm bringing it right now. I feel that on me. That's God calling you to a secret place, seeking him in the secret. Man, you can jump and shout. That video wasn't wrong. They aren't wrong for being on there doing all that they're doing. But I'll tell you what, if that's the only time you do that, you have your reward in full already. The most you can get out of the atmosphere is the most you'll ever get. But when you seek him, get alone in your secret place. And he who's in secret, he'll see you there.
Yeah.
You know what he'll do? He'll reward you in the open. What's your reward? A new car? Full vats and barns? No. What are you seeking in the secret? What's your reward in the open? This gospel's so amazing. So why are you seeking him? For bigger and better? For more? Are you seeking him to know him? It's what we sang. We're seeking him to become like him. We're just giving ourselves to him, and we're seeking him because if we seek him, we'll find him. If we draw near, he'll draw near to us. And all of a sudden, two become one. And all of a sudden, we're back to the beginning apart from sin. Sins are forgiven. Lamb of God, he took it away, brought back the beginning, his image.
Yeah?
Brand new creatures. You want to see how scriptural this is?
I was just going to say, go to Colossians. I just opened my Bible. I had no clue. I'm right at Colossians, man.
I'm ready, baby. Colossians chapter 3. This is amazing. See, don't be careful you don't so relate to the flesh and think it's some humble thing. It's a false humility. You say, yeah, but brother, we're always going to be fleshy. We're always going to be this. We're always going to sin. We're always going to that. And we're talking ourselves out of the power of Holy Spirit and limiting the grace Jesus paid for and don't even know what the limit is. We're judging the truth by our own life's experiences, and we're not even letting faith take us to what's possible. What is it possible to be like now that Christ did what he did? What did God pay for? What amount of grace is here, and what is it here to do if I'm willing and submit? Has any of us even come close to what's possible through the cross? Or do we relate so much to psychology and human feelings and reasoning and past history and patterns and duh. All of a sudden we can preach from the pulpit. You be careful with those people that are always okay. Them ones that always say, hey, brother, I'm doing fine. That's the brother you need to get alone.
and say, now, brother, between me and you, how are you really doing? Because what we're teaching is, it's impossible to always be okay. Did you ever hear anybody preach that? Be careful of those people that are always okay. We're actually saying you can't be. I had a guy stand up in Alabama. I was preaching. He said, I just want to share the revelation that I'm getting. And I said, what? And he said, there's no bad days in Christ, only opportunities to shine. And I said, sir, you got it. That's exactly what I'm saying. It ain't about what you're going through. It's about the one inside of you and the message he wants to send through what you're going through. And even if people don't change, you give them the best chance to change. Even if people don't want to see it, you let the light shine bright. Let your light so shine before man. Arise, shine, church. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness the people. But the light, it's on you. This thing isn't about blessings. It's about shining. This thing isn't about everything going your way. It's about everything going his way and revealing himself through you in the face of it all. It's about following Jesus, never letting sin against you be the right to find sin in you, never justifying the flesh, living by the Spirit in truth. Come on. Why wouldn't have done that if they wouldn't have? Well, did you talk to them? Well, you know how it makes you feel when people, well, the only reason I did it is because they started it. The world taught you to think like that. Could you imagine God sitting in heaven, destroying the earth and whacking people and going, well, they just wouldn't change. I've just had enough. I'm tired of my heart getting broken. I want to get on a talk show. And I want the audience to support me. Because I'm hurt. I'm a victim. Sounds foolish, doesn't it, when you put it in God's mouth? Yeah. Ought to sound foolish in yours. You're made for his image. He didn't teach you that language. Jesus carrying the cross to Golgotha. He's already beat beyond description, guys. Do you understand that he's beat beyond description? It's not just 39 lashes. It's not just 40 minus 1. Guys, it was blow after blow. The Passion movie was great, but it didn't come close to what he looked like. Because the Bible says he was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means, Pastor Greg, when they were done beating King Jesus, you couldn't even tell he was a man, let alone who he was. Why? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was made to be. So Jesus had to come and lose his recognizability, or whatever you want to call it, so we could get our identity back. 39 lashes wasn't enough. Just take away who he is. Make him unrecognizable. Take away his appearance. Why? Because that's what sin did to us. So he took it on himself, became what we were, so we could become what he is. Come on, that's to me the most beautiful aspect of the cross, that Jesus took blow upon blow and deserved not one. So who can picture this? So he's going to Golgotha. He's beat beyond description. He's getting up there. He's not going to struggle and scream when they're driving in the spikes. He's going to lay on that thing because ain't no man taking his life. Come on, that's scriptural. You see them movies and they're whacking them thieves and they're... Ah! That wasn't Jesus. Go ahead, boys. This is why I'm here. Stick them in good. You better get real. The purest man that ever was. No deceit, no string attached, not even one thing slanted. Died that death for you and me to follow him. Not just sing to him and pray for him to get us out of trouble. Amen. To follow him. Yes. Come on, man. No matter what we're in the middle of, not letting it decide who we are. No matter what people did and didn't do, not letting that decide who we are. Letting this one truth make us free forever. So we shine in the face of it all. And diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. Come on, guys. It's true.
So imagine Jesus heading to Golgotha. And all of a sudden he gets analytical. Starts rationalizing. Truth doesn't have the ability to do that. You know, we rationalize. We say we have all this logic, we call it. People say, well, God made us this way. There's seminaries that teach you to not let anybody infringe on your God-given right to logic and reasoning. People say God made us this way. Let me just inform you, God never made you with the ability to talk yourself out of Him. Your reasoning ability is not some free gift from God. It's called following a stranger's voice in the way that seems right to a man all of a sudden. So, did God really say? Well, God just knows. And the day you eat the tree, your eyes will be, And you'll be just like, Ever since that day, man has submitted to that voice. And he calls his human reasoning and his logical ability. We call it common sense even. We're studying a fallen man and saying God made us that way. God did not make you that way. When that voice was obeyed, that voice kept coming and man's been subservient to it until you renounce it. Come on, you can still be in the garden, the tree's there, the snake's there whispering, and God is still saying, follow me. That tree ain't never going away, and that voice ain't never going away. Who says you have to eat it and follow it and even listen to it? Come on, we've embraced the tree of life, and that's where we're living. See, yeah, but the devil won't stop lying to me. Well, thank God you know it's the devil. Why are you worried? He's a liar. Well, I'm just tired of the devil. Stop it! What are you tired of? You ought to rejoice and freak out and worship every time because of that truth. He's a liar. God, you're amazing. I thank you. You set me free. Well, you'll never be worth anything. Father, I thank you that I'm worth the blood of your son and you fill me with the same spirit that raised. And that devil's like, yak, yak, yak. And you, And all of a sudden you have greater revelation because of the devil. That sure beats, can you pray for me? I'm not feeling too good. Some of us are just pushovers with that thing. We're driving down the road. You're feeling good, man. It's a good day. Thank you, Lord. You got the right worship on. It's your song. All of a sudden, that thing's winding down. You hear this little thought. Well, you're not worthy. Well, remember this. And 10 years ago, this flashback comes. And now because you had the flashback, you think it's in you. And because you're thinking about it, you feel defiled because it's in your mind. And all of a sudden, your cool thing is gone because of one little suggestion that's not even in your heart. Why do we sell so cheap? That little flashback comes, you ought to throw a fit. God, I thank you, I'm changed forever. I thank you, I'm so washed in the blood. That little thing that's there suggesting that thing is gone. Because you ain't getting grayed out and depressed. And all of a sudden, you're worshiping God more. Now God comes in the car a little more, and he can't handle that. So he's like, woo, get a little tight in here. Come on. I act this little thing out, man. I act this little thing out, the devil and the imps and stuff. And so you got the devil, man. He's like sending little imps out. What's your name again? John. So here's John. Look at John, man. He's boom, boom, boom. Right? He's tearing it up. Look at his countenance. He's a man of God. You're awesome. Devil don't like that. He's saying, hey, go mess with John. He's riding a little high and I don't like it. I want you to put some doubt, put some concern, get some consternation, get a little wavering in there. You remember, just remind John of this and just begin to speak doubt and unbelief to John and just tell him it ain't really real and it ain't all that and nothing really changed. You know how it is. Yeah, boss, you're amazing. Yeah. So he goes over, right? And John's just chilling, and he's like, and he's saying all that, like, John, you ain't that gonna be nothing. Remember this? Well, you said you love God, and you still this. Remember that? And you ain't really changed. What's all this worship about you? What's really different, John? Who's ever heard stuff like that? Who's ever had Just a year of quiet on a thing that broke your heart. Just a year of quiet, and all of a sudden out of the blue, that thing's right there like it was yesterday. That's Satan looking for opportune time. That thing ain't in your heart. You don't need deliverance. It's not in you. It's out here trying to get back in. It wants you to believe what you're thinking, take responsibility for what's breaking your heart, and repent for something you're not. So John has two options. John can go, bow, bow, bow. Or John can go, Father, I just thank you for the change you brought to my life. And I just thank you the way you're working in me. And it just rejoices my heart to know your unfailing love. And God, and that little imp, he's sitting there going. And then John just, and Father, I just honor you and worship you, King Jesus. And I lift my heart. And he's like, ah. So he runs back. He says, boss, I told that guy everything you told me to tell him. Yeah? Is he depressed? No, boss. He's raising his hands, worshiping God. And God started to come in the room. I had to get out. That's like, I told him everything, boss, and he started to praise the Lord and speak all the truth. Devil, you fool. You couldn't have told him what I said. When you say stuff like that to Christians, they get grayed out, depressed, and call for prayer.
Not this Christian. He ain't believing what he feels. He ain't believing what he hears. It's like he's got it in his heart. No, you go back and tell him this.
Boss, you're amazing.
And he comes back. John's like, and Father, I love you and thank you for new life, brand new life. I thank you there is no yesterday in you, just the present and things to come, and you're empowering me, and Holy Spirit, I'm going, woo! Right? Come on, dude! So here's the principle. It's not resist the devil, he'll flee. Submit to God. Resist the devil. See, you're submitting as you're resisting. It's a one-step program and nobody gets tired but the devil. Watch this. Watch. If the enemy's not careful and he keeps doing this to John, watch. In a 3-month, 4-month, 5-month, 6-month period, John has a greater revelation, more intimacy, more of a worship life, and a better tune than he would have if he never heard the lie.
Now tell me God isn't wise. And we think the devil's our problem. Not believing truth is our problem. And not living by it.
You say, yeah, but I don't feel worthy. You have to be. He already rose from the dead. Yeah, but I don't feel it. God needs to put it on me. No, the just live by faith. It's time for you to look at the gospel and say, you did this, and this is why, and this is what I am now. Thank you. Yes. You get it? I've met people that are in this stuck rut place saying, wait, I need God to just give it to me. I need God to manifest his love, and I'm going to keep going to conferences. Somebody's going to pray for me. You need to impart the love of God. They go for years, get frustrated, hard, as they do it. Am I telling the truth? Why? God loves them way too much to empower that weakness and give them a manifestation of love apart from faith and believing. Because then every time they don't feel it, they'll need to feel it, and they're going to live by feelings their whole life and never have the strength of faith in their heart. Are you following me? God loves them. Listen, my wife prayed for me for 13 years and I never changed. She got mad and gave up on me and God. Made sense to her. Watch. I'm going to give up on this man. He'll never change. He's hurt me enough. He's dishonored me enough. It wasn't that I was cheating on her. I just wasn't loving her. I was just selfish, mean, unaffectionate.
and just mad at her all the time and expected the world of her, but on my nights off, I sure wanted her to come to bed with me. And she died inside, and God had enough of it. But here's what she said. And you, she looked up at the Lord. She told me this. She pumped her fist. And you left me suffer these 13 years, let me and these kids go through hell with this man and never answered my prayer all this time. I don't need you either. Boy, it sure makes sense on a talk show at a lunch table. Sure makes sense to somebody that's hurting, that's self-centered in their Christianity. I turn around, get totally radically changed and saved after that.
She gets mad and offended.
Now you get saved. 7 weeks later, God changes her in the bathroom. He comes and he just manifests in the bathroom. He's not offended at her. He's not threatened and intimidated by her. He's not cutting her off because she dishonored him, pumped her fist. He understands that she doesn't understand. And he came in the bathroom and he said, "Why are you so angry with that man, Kim? Can't you see?" And her eyes went. She said it was like somebody tore something off her face. He said, "That's not even the man you're angry with. Kim, that's not even the man you married."
Watch what God said about me. Corey, this is awesome.
He said, "I have made him a brand new man." She fell to the floor crying. She said she's in a fetal position just crying, crying uncontrollably. The Lord hovered over her and said, "Kim, it's true you prayed to me for 13 years. But you didn't pray because you loved him. You prayed because you were hurt by him. You only prayed for him to change because you knew it would make your day better and your life better. Kim, you never prayed because of mercy or love. You never cried for him, you cried because of him. And I couldn't answer your prayer because I can't empower you to live from that place because that place is not me." The Lord, in his strength and wisdom, told her, "I didn't answer your prayer because you bound my hands, because if I answer your prayer, I teach you that that motive's right and it's not." Do you ever see this one? "Well, lollipop. Honey, no more candy today." "Oh, a lollipop. Honey, no more candy. Come on. Shh, honey, we're in the store." "A lollipop. Honey, shh, you know better." "Okay, you can ring me up." "Lollipop, lollipop, 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 lollipop." "I told you no lollipop. Listen, you are embarrassing me. And if you ever do this, I told you about this before. And I'm just, never again." "Lollipop, lollipop." "Listen to me. I'm going to give you this lollipop this time. But don't you ever put me in this position again. I'm telling you, it's going to be trouble for you, young man. Now here, I hope you're satisfied." What'd you just teach him?
To be sure to do that every time and more so. If God answers, how many spouses, don't you raise your hand, it's a question. How many spouses over time have prayed for their spouse just because of where their spouse was and how it was affecting them? And then we wonder why God hasn't answered. Because it's not love praying, it's need and hurt and pain and flesh and humanity. We've learned to cry because of people. We haven't learned to cry for people. We've learned to want the mercy of God, but not become the mercy of God. We've wanted forgiven, but we haven't become forgiveness. And we've missed why he came. He came to make me like him. Don't tell me I can't love you and believe the best for you. Don't you tell me that I can't live and not be hurt by you. You're deceived if you think I can't. Jesus did, and he said, "Follow me." He said, "When you suffer for doing good and take it patiently, it's commendable to God, for to this you were called." The Bible says everybody wants to know their calling. Your calling is to suffer for doing good and take it patiently because you're following him. No one owes you a thing. You owe no man anything but to love. I found that in my Bible, Romans. It's there, baby. So my wife is down on the floor crying. He hovers over and he says, "You've been reduced to another hurting wife that prays." That's what he told her.
that she was reduced to another hurting wife that prayed. Whoa. I wish he'd talk to all of us like that all the time. Why he talks to some and others don't hear that, I don't know. Maybe they just can't hear it, won't hear it, don't want to hear it. Maybe they hear it and don't hear it. I want a God that's going to adjust my motive like that and pull me into love. I don't want to be empowered to stay in weakness. I want to live in strength. I just don't want what he can do for me. I want who he is in me and through me. My wife cried and cried and cried and cried. She came up out of that place, came running looking for me. She was so done with me, you have no idea. 5 months we hadn't been together, hadn't slept this, same bed, hadn't talked. Before I was saved, I'd come home and she'd go out the door and leave me with the kids. I didn't know when she'd come back. We didn't communicate at all. We lived that way to save money, but we're apart, but together. It was horrible. She'd come home and I'd bolt and wouldn't communicate. 5 months of that.
Now I'm born again. I come home.
There was times I was in my bedroom up there praying and singing, and I'd open my door and she's standing outside the door. And I'm like, hey, you make me so mad. Listen to the rationale. Listen to how life taught us to think. Make a great talk show. Trouble is nobody wins. When it's victim villain, nobody wins. You look at the talk shows on the earth today. The Lord asked me to watch one. I said, what? He said, watch the show. I won't say the name of the host. It was horrible. It made me cry. People's wretched stories of dysfunction, and they're up there boasting in it, and the crowd's deciding who's wrong and who's right, and everybody's sitting as God, and they're all losing. And everybody's entertained by it and drawn to it and got to watch it and see what chaos they found today. Who's sleeping with who? Who's hurting who? Who slept with whose best friend? So they boo for him and cheer for her. How's she better if she doesn't have truth and understanding? See, without Jesus, you have no identity, because we were made for his image. You can never know who you are apart from him. It's always going to be a lie. You can't know who you are apart from Jesus. My wife stood up from that place. She came running to me. Now watch this. Who knows I lived a certain way? Well, here's what she said in the bedroom. You make me so mad. You lived like the devil for 13 years, and now you're in there praying like you're some holy man of God. I don't think so. Now watch. Guess what I could have said? I could have said, well, Kim, you know God forgives people and changes people. It's obvious you've left your heart get hurt and hard, and I realize I've done those things. You know, if you wouldn't have given up on him, if you'd be seeking him, you'd be hearing his voice and understanding that people change and get forgiven and are made brand new. I'm sorry I hurt you, but it's because you're hurt and you're in unforgiveness and you can't see the truth and I can't make up for what. I could have said all that. She had no ears to hear that. She'd have clawed my eyes out. But would I have been right? I'd have been totally right. But I just looked at her and tears filled my eyes and I just said, I'm just so sorry for the way you feel. And I'd just walk away and she'd be like, I know that ain't Dan, because I used to be a fighter with my tongue. I'd just... I could take you out with my tongue, boy. Not anymore. I understand the power of it. So who knows that I'm the one? If we'd have been on the talk show, the whole audience, I'm the villain, and I need to say I'm sorry, and that ain't even good enough. Now she has an encounter with Jesus. I'm out in the garden, and I'm doing some gardening and working some late crop of beans, and I hear the door slam open. She crashes it open, and she's running across the yard right at me. She didn't have a machete. She's just running at me, man. But she's crying uncontrollable. And I hear her talking repetitively. And when I first see her crying, my first thought is, because she wouldn't approach me like that. She wasn't nicey nice. Don't get me wrong, she's an amazing, amazing lady and wife. She was just hurt. Unforgiveness makes you who you're not. I thought somebody died. I thought she got a tragic phone call. Here's what happened. She encountered God. She's running to me. Now watch what the gospel does. In her mind, I owe her something I can never make up for. She just met Jesus and encountered God. She's running to me, and guess what she's saying repetitively? I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm feeling really like, oh, what do you mean you're sorry? It was a slobber fest. I'm like, I'm the one that's sorry. You know, you're not sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like, you're sorry. I'm sorry. It was bad. But one thing that was sure is she was sorry. And so was I. But here's what I learned. When you make it about you and not about everybody else, you'll see clear and you'll find yourself in the heart of God. The only reason she was in the place she was is because she's waiting for me to be sorry, and she left me decide who she was. So every day of her life, I was the potter of her life. And I was the reason for her being. Whew. And then you're going to meet a friend that's hurt, and they're going to encourage her in that pain and justify it and say, I'd be hurt too, that scoundrel, he should have never. And all of a sudden you become a hater of men or whatever, or you carry that insecurity into another relationship and you're never free for the rest of your life. I got so bothered by her saying, I'm sorry. I said, stop it. Why are you saying so? What do you mean you're sorry?
She said, I'm sorry because... She said, I prayed for you for 13 years. And she said, it was not because of love. It was because of pain and anger. And God told me I was reduced to another hurting wife that prayed. And he couldn't answer my prayer because he couldn't empower me to stay that way. Because it was never love. Forgive me for not loving you. I'm like,
it was crazy.
So we talked through some things. And I said, can I renew my wedding vow to you?
She said, what?
Because we didn't know this was happening. I didn't have a bunch of sheets crinkled up by the nightstand with bags under my eyes trying to eloquent speech or something. That was spontaneous. I said, can I renew my wedding vow to you? She asked if there's any hope for our marriage. I said, are you kidding me? I finally know I love you. And it was just so mushy and wonderful. She goes, I said, can I renew my wedding? She said, yeah. I took her little shoulders. I didn't even know what I was saying, but I sure know now. It came out of my spirit. I was only 7 weeks old in the Lord. I looked her right in the eyes and I said, watch, you owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive the love of God from me. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I'll serve you in his unfailing love. And she said, okay.
She's like, well, no, you shouldn't. I don't really deserve it. And I didn't say, now let me get a pen and pad so I can write your vows to me. Love just loves. And that's all it does. You all good? I talked way long. Wow.
You all stretched?
I have no idea. I just panicked.
Woo.
Listen, these are life messages. I call them family chats. I call them living room. We're just family, man. Listen, watch. Here's the great truth about tonight. You can go home and you can say, man, what am I going to do with what this man just said? And you have the privilege, with nobody looking, getting alone with God and saying, you know what? The best I understand what he's saying, I'm giving my life to you, and I ain't holding nothing back. And that's self-centered. You guys are just ready to get married. What a time, man, to be like, you know what? I ain't just getting married to him for me. I'm going to give my life to him. And I ain't just getting married to her for her and the reward of her in my life. I'm going to be a man of God to her, and I'm going to give her my life. And I'm going to pray before God and ask him to fashion and groom my heart so that all I ever do is wash her with the water of my words. And all I ever do is encourage her and let her know she is his girl. Whew. And even if I don't agree with her, it doesn't mean I ever have to be mad at her. I cannot agree with her and still love her and shower her with blessing.
Come on, man. You can talk like that to God.
You can too, right? And all of a sudden, in a couple months, they come together and exchange their vows to one another. And it's not fancy speech like, oh, you put chills down my spine. And when I look into your eyes, you know.
No, it's like you give yourself to them in words and vows and promise. And they go, I do. I receive your life. And then they turn in covenant faith and give themselves. It's all that is mine is yours. And all that is yours is mine. So that two become one. That's how it was from the beginning. Come on, ladies, you're not another lump of clay. He made man in his image, both male and female. He reached into what was already one in him and brought out the woman and made what was one two, so two could enjoy being one. So out of the fullness of God, the only reason woman's on the earth is because of the fullness of God in man, not because man's lonely or needs a woman. He reaches into the fullness of God in man and brings forth the woman and makes what was one two, so two can enjoy laying down their lives and being one.
You're not here to scratch a man's itch.
Did I just say that in your church? Is that okay? Okay?
Look. You say, well, it's not good that man be alone. He must be lonely.
Get a revelation. He's filled with the fullness of God. He's one with God. He doesn't have needs and issues. It's not good that man be alone because there's no avenue to express what's so amazing. There's no landing strip for love. There's no place to multiply and reproduce the image. He looks at male and female and blesses them. They're both made his image. And then he tells them to be fruitful, multiply. It doesn't mean go get it on and get pregnant. It's all about multiplying the image. Yeah. Be fruitful and multiply isn't have sex and have kids. It's when you come together in his image and conceive in his image, you multiply the image till the glory of the Lord covers the earth. That's good. From the beginning, it's been about the image. Yeah? I can't preach Colossians 3. I'll have to do it later. We have other sessions. I'm trying to get them all in one. Look, I say don't be selfish. Maybe I'm being selfish tonight. I got four sessions. I'm trying to get five out of it somehow. Because I got to quit. The clock is getting later. Here's what you do. You take what I said tonight. You think about it. And if it makes sense in your spirit. If it doesn't, ask God for clarity. Look at scriptures. Think about some of the things I've preached and stuff. But here's the thing. When you hear a fellow talk like I talk tonight, please respond from your heart to God. Please respond to your own conscience. Please be accountable to take what you heard and apply faith to it and get alone with God. And what are you going to do with what God said tonight? Are you going to let people matter more? Are you going to let words matter more? Do you still need somebody to do you right? Are you just enough being in Him and shining in the face of it all? Are you going to be a pattern they can follow? Are you going to be one of the examples that rises up out of the church and people can look at and be impressed with God because you're impressed with Him? Come on. I've learned this, that anybody can be hurt and have issues. That's common. But who's ready to surrender and truly die, carry their cross and follow the King? If you don't deny yourself, you'll never carry the cross. It'll always be about you, how you feel, what they did, justifying why you feel because of what they did. You'll never carrying your cross means taxi through life and never let life decide who you are. Let the life in you prove that. Carrying your cross is being innocent and not letting people's judgment change your innocence. Carrying your cross is never letting your motive be manipulated by things and people, letting your motive stay pure because the pure in heart see God. Never letting sin against you produce sin in you. Carry your cross. Because if you deny yourself and carry your cross, guess what you're doing? Following Him. Look, you don't put metal in a microwave, do you? It wasn't made for that. Read the manufacturer's handbook. You put metal in a microwave long enough, what do the microwave? Well, read the manufacturer's handbook. Man shouldn't live for himself.
You can make the gospel self-centered. You keep living for yourself, you'll destroy the product. Read the manufacturer's handbook. Man wasn't made for himself. He was made for God's image. You'll find it in Colossians 3:10 very strongly. You'll find it in Romans 8. It's a couple places. I can teach it maybe later. Y'all good? We're going to do something in closing. It won't take a ton of time. If I can get you out of here by about 9:30, are we going to be okay? Will we survive? Okay? Because when I say 9:30, that's probably cutting it short, but I'm going to do my best. Are you okay with that? Okay. So I left you with this exhortation. You from your heart, I'm not a huge altar call guy on this kind of stuff. You from your heart have the ability to go home and get alone and respond to God in light of what I said. True? You know your own life. You know you better than anyone knows you. If the shoe fit tonight, don't be Cinderella. Perfect fit. Kick the thing off. If the shoe fit in some of the things I said, just say, wow, thanks for giving me understanding, Lord. Man, I was doing that and didn't even realize. I was letting that matter and it's, wow, God, this is liberating. If while I'm speaking, you were convicted, challenged, and stretched. When I talked about praying for your spouse because of your pain, there's people in here that if you were honest and I'd ask you, you were doing that this week. If somebody would be honest, somebody'd raise their hand. You're praying because of your pain, not your love. You follow me? Come on, God wants that selfish thing turned. He doesn't want you just praying because of your pain. He wants you praying because of your love. You don't pray because they're hurting you. You pray because you know they're more than what they're doing. And if they knew who they were, their life would be changed. God, give them a revelation, understanding, and thank you for the strength and stability of soul to be in the midst of this and not be changed. See, people say, well, I'm getting emotionally abused. I promise you, you can only emotionally abuse people that don't know who they are.
Try to emotionally abuse me. You will get emotionally abused.
It's not going to happen. I know who I am. You can stand outside of my house every day and pick it and post lies and put me on Facebook and say what you think and feel. How has my life ended? You can't keep me from knowing him. Who can touch the peace that I have in my heart as I stand here? Who can keep me from hearing his voice tonight when I'm laying in that bed in their house? Who can keep me from him now that I know him? How can you touch me now? If I really understand. See, if you don't love, it's because you don't know him. So your goal isn't to get everybody to change. The goal is to know him because you'll change. And you'll see people through his eyes. And now everybody doesn't have to get it right. You got it. See, every one of us can leave here. I'm trying to help you. Because I've been messing up bad. So I'm really trying to help you. Every one of us can leave here tonight and settle this in our heart. Okay, Lord, I'm going to begin to work on this, pray this to you, speak this out to you, and believe you're establishing it in my heart. I'm not on the earth for me. I'm on the earth for your image. And the unity of faith is in our diversity of gifts. We all live for the same reason, your love. How many gifts are in this room? How much diversity of personality and preference and desire? And it's all from the Lord. How can we have unity of faith in the midst of that much diversity when we all do what we do for the same reason? Not esteem, not notoriety, and not for ministry. Do it for his great name and his great nature and his great love. So every one of us can know that we're on the earth for his image. You go to your job for his image. You go to the shopping malls and the store in his image. You're pumping gas in his image. You're not putting him on and putting him off. You put him on. Come on, guys. You're in your homes in his image. Don't get so familiar with one another that you'll live less than Jesus without conviction because, hey, it's our family. Come on. All of a sudden, you just fight over things and be mad with each other. I mean, we can leave church. Holy, holy, holy God. And then fight over where we're eating. Because you picked last week. When do I ever get to choose? How come you're always so selfish? Well, the pastor preached on selfishness. Why don't you let me eat where I want to eat? Come on, guys.
and there's no conviction. Just dull because we think it's normal. It's just closest ones to us. Another lie, we say, well, the closest people to us can hurt us the most. Well, they're the ones we say we love, and love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Why are you so hurt if you love? Oh, I'm on you now. You're telling me if they did that to you, you wouldn't be hurt? Maybe you ought to ask Jesus that, because they did some stuff to him. There's things you knew to do right, and you didn't do it. And God didn't freak out and fall apart, get angry, and go into depression. And on the day you repented, he didn't say, oh, it's you. You know, 6 months ago, I really wooed you, and you didn't come to me. You know, that really put my heart on a yo-yo string. I think I'm just tired of us. You're just not good for me. You know, I see all these tears in your eyes, and you're all serious now. But what about all the other times? I don't know. It just, you hurt me. You hurt me a lot. I'm just not sure where we stand. I'm going to have a meeting with the 24 elders. I'll call you tomorrow. Come on. Sounds foolish in the mouth of God. Ought to sound just as foolish in yours. You're made for his image. And if he didn't teach you to speak that way, then don't speak that way. And if you can't see it coming out of him, don't let it come out of you. Just learn to live by the Spirit, church, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You guys hearing me? Come on, man. The only thing I'll do tonight, and I don't do it a lot, I really don't. I know that'll sound strange. I'm not an altar call guy. People that know me or watch me, but if you're somehow in this room, I'm not talking about rededication. I'm not talking about coming back to the Lord. Look, if you haven't been with the Lord and you heard me preaching tonight and you got stretched and ripped, and just come home. Just say, duh. What was I thinking? God, I'm home. But if you're sitting here and you never... See, I feel like there's somebody here, I wouldn't take the time because it's already late. But if you never were born again and didn't totally understand, and you just thought it was about forgiveness of sins and making it to heaven and the message never, but now you realize, no, I've been living for me and my image, and my image has come from life lived. It's not even my image. It's perverted. My image is in Christ, and I'm to get born again so Christ comes in me, so my nature changes so that I shine. I want to be born again. I was born into Adam. You must be born again. And then we'll see to it. Maybe even somehow pull it off this weekend. I don't know the church and the layout, and I don't know, but you're in Florida. There's water everywhere. We will baptize you. We will hold you down till every bubble stops. We will make sure you're so dead that you'll finally live. If you're a good pastor, that's what you do. You, when the bubbles stop, you wait 40 seconds. It works. You shake them a little. There's nothing there, man. You bring them up. It's life. Now, here's the real truth. The real truth is he really did die and suffer, and it really cost him. He is so good that he allows us to just be sincere and have a sincere heart of faith, and in 2 seconds, step into everything he accomplished. What a God, huh? And we think everybody else is our problem, and with they this, we get chips on our shoulder. Come on, attitudes are a dime a dozen. That doesn't make you special. It makes you like everybody else. But who's willing to repent and come to him and say, I'm ready to give it all. I'm done blaming everything else and everybody else on my life. Or my life because everybody else. So if you're here, you've never, ever been born again. You've never said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I've lived selfish. I want you to save me. Come in. Let heaven. I'm not praying to go to heaven. I'm praying for heaven to come into me. I want to be your child. I want your nature. I want to become love. I want to die to the old and live to the new. I want to be born again. I want to pick up my cross and follow you. And you're in here, and that's you. I want you to be bold and just come up here real quick. I'm not going to take long with this, but there's somebody here, man. And I'm not talking about recommitting. I'm not talking about you're backslidden, you're coming. I'm talking about you've never been born again. So, where do you stand with God, man? Why are you coming up here? You've been born again. No? You haven't been. Okay. You haven't been? Just a youngster, or what?
When I was young, I don't even know when I was saved.
Okay. This message has got you. You want to die to everything you've ever been? Yeah, I feel like at some level in your heart you've known God, you've wanted God. I think you just got clarity tonight. Right? And this thing aligned you, gave you something to live toward. Okay? So I'm not correcting you. I'm just trying to catch, because when you walked up here, because I'm looking for people that ain't never been born again, but I feel like you just went up a notch in understanding tonight.
Thank you.
But I feel like your heart's been good. I feel like you have a heart to do right. You have a heart for God. True?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I'm going to bless you and just pray for you. Stretch your hands to this young man quickly. What's your name, son?
Rashad.
Father, I pray that this young man grow in wisdom and understanding like no time in his life. I pray that his convictions become the manifestation of his expression of life. And I pray, Lord God, that everything that has challenged him and spoken to him tonight from your Spirit would so soon become his reality. That even to not, there would just be a freedom. That he would begin to feel good about himself just because of who you are in him. That he has nothing to prove, nothing to measure up to. He doesn't have to win attention, win favor, win praises. There's something about this I'm hearing, son. You don't have to earn a thing, man. I feel like God wants to teach you to feel good about who you are because of who he is in you. And you live from that place. You don't ever just pursue ministry. You don't pursue a platform to be recognized, to feel better. That's perversion, man. You do not want that. That's misguided. And if that's been in your heart at all, God doesn't want that to be your motive ever. That will snare you in the long run. You'll always look for the favor of men when you already have the favor of God. And you'll only be as good as people are approving of you. And I'm not talking about you getting a hard heart towards people. I'm talking about you getting a soft heart towards God, which will keep your heart soft towards men. But here's the thing. I feel like God wants to anoint you and empower you to minister out of the strength of who he is in you, the strength of who you've become in him, and that your God reality would be the strength of everything you minister, that knowing him would be the anointing that you flow in. Knowing him would be what you impart to others' hearts. So, Father, I thank you that he grow in this truth, and I thank you, God, that this grace is upon his life. And, Father, even tonight, that he experienced the freedom of that truth, that he has nothing to prove. He's become your son. And I know his heart is to surrender. And I thank you, God, that you receive him fully. In Jesus' name, Father. Okay? Bless you. You've never been born again? Ever. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, your Lord, just to get born again? You ever been water baptized? Water baptized? You ever been water baptized as a young girl? Baby, yeah. Okay. This is a good knowledge for you tonight. This opened your heart. You want the beauty of what was preached tonight, and you want to give your heart to him in this, right? Okay. You've never been baptized other than a newborn baby. I just want you guys to understand something. Parents do that in tradition, in religious practice. It's not a bad thing. Don't put it down. It's really, scripturally, it's a child dedication. What you're doing is you're entrusting your child as a baby to the Lord. It doesn't take the place of believer baptism. It's just a child dedication. You're just baptizing them unto the Lord. Just give them to the Lord. You're trusting that they'll grow up in the Lord. Well,
I guess it works.
There's still a believer baptism where Jesus says, believe and be. So when you get water baptized, which you do, because I'd love you to get water baptized. What we do, and we won't hold you till the bubbles stop. When you get water baptized, you're saying a death to everything that ever was. You're dying in the likeness of his death so you can raise in the newness of life. By faith, you're going under and saying, I put everything about my life that ever was under this water, like Jesus was put in a grave, and like he rose, I'm rising in the resurrection power of Christ. It's water baptism.
The first evidence of water baptism was Genesis 6 in the days of Noah. We think flood. Peter had a revelation. What God did was the earth was full of unrighteousness. So God baptized the earth in water. And when the earth came out, all unrighteousness was destroyed. He looked and said, I will never do it this way again. I'll never destroy the earth this way again. He put a rainbow in the sky to promise, and he was pointing to a baptism that was to come to the believer through Christ that would take away the unrighteousness, but not at the cost of life. Take away unrighteousness and actually give life forevermore.
Yeah.
Peter said, we have this antitype. There were eight righteous souls saved through water. He's talking about Noah. We have this antitype which now saves us.
Thought it was the blood, brother. It is.
But it's also the baptism that saves your conscience and your emotions and your soul and gives you a good conscience before God. So let's stop fighting over this stuff and let's just jump in. Yeah. Peter said, it's water baptism. Now saves us. Not the cleansing of your flesh, not because you need a bath, but the answer of a good conscience before God. Is there anybody else in here? I feel like there's two more people for sure. You've never been born again in my heart. There might be more, but I'm just here and I'm sure there's two more. You've never been born again. You've never said, I want to get born again and I want Jesus to become my life. Need you to run up and join this sister real quick. I'm not going to take long with this. We're going to pray with her. But I feel like there's two more and I need you to come. Thank you so much, honey. Thank you, precious. Never been born again? Make sense tonight? Challenge you tonight? Take away some excuses and stuff? Huh? Really good stuff. This is the good news, honey. It's the beautiful gospel. Jesus didn't come to hang on a cross and say, you wretched sinner, you need to change, girl. You need to shape up your act. Look, nobody ever paid a high price for nothing. The cross is here to remove your sin, not expose it. Remove it. I honestly believe, and no pastor ever taught me this, I believe the cross reveals my value because nobody would pay such a ridiculous price for nothing. What a gospel. See, here's the deal. You and I grew up and thought a certain way, learned a certain way, were trained a certain way. It all made sense tonight. And that's what decided our feelings, our emotions, our comebacks, our responses, our receptions. And those things haven't produced a lot of good things along the way. So then we get our little cliques, our little friends. We try to talk ourselves through. And now he said, she said, and we're all this, they're all that. We've all been in that. Nobody wins. In this life, you say, look, I realize I was never made for me. I was made for your image. And God, if you're telling me that through the blood of Jesus, you're receiving me, forgiving me, and you're going to come in and make me brand new, I'm all in. The best I understand, I'm giving myself to you. That's what we're doing tonight. Are you agree?
You ready? That's awesome. I was actually eyeballing you a while ago. You were just really looking at what I did.
And here you are. Do you see me looking at you? I was looking right at you. But I couldn't say, girl, get up here. I still need a young man. I know I need a gentleman. I need a young man up here. Would you be bold and humble and get up here and get right with God and get saved? What a rejoicing time. We'll all rejoice. We'll pray here in a minute. We'll give glory to God. I'm telling you, I need a young man. You've never been saved. You're in the room. Please, just have courage and come up here. So, man, my heart's beating. I'm like, that's because it's you. Just come on up here. Huh? Yours too? Yeah, that's all right.
Better hurry up because I'm getting more nervous.
No, don't be nervous. No, don't be nervous. Look, watch this. Are you guys proud and excited for them? Woo! Are you seriously happy for these guys? Yeah, so don't be nervous. Okay, we're going to pray. Who's my young man? Please run up here. It won't go away. You're still here. God's still wooing you. Please run up here. I give you like 3, 4, 5 seconds so you can run up here quick. And we're going to pray for these ladies. I'd love to do it all together. You coming? I need you to come, man. Okay. Let's hold hands. Stretch your hands to these ladies. You know what you're doing, right?
It's a very simple prayer of faith. We're going to just ask God to forgive us for anything we've ever done or been outside of Him. We're going to ask Him to come inside of us.
Oh, it's fun. He's going to do it.
You ask Him to come inside of you, that you want to give Him your life, and you want Him to begin to make you like Him. Now, I hope you pray that, okay? But you willing? You know what we're doing? You agree? Awesome. See, that way you're not puppeting me, you're parroting me, you're just repeating me. You actually know what you're committing to. See, this is how I always, man, I'm on an airplane. This is the way I pray for people to get saved. And then I try to find water, man. I've baptized people in my hotel bathtub. I ain't kidding you. I've baptized people in hotel swimming pools. I have. I'll get you the water.
The bubble's going to stop.
Sometime we'd love to baptize you if we could have the honor. Sometime we'll work it out. And we just try to work it out this weekend and get you to some water if you'd be willing. Who'd you come with? Friends?
My cousin.
Your cousin?
See, look at her. She's just pumped.
She loves you, girl. It ain't because you're some bad girl. It's because you're called to Him. Because you have so much value and destiny. See, the cross doesn't expose sin. It removes sin to reveal your value, destiny, and purpose. That's why love doesn't fail. On her darkest day, God knew who she was. And the blood was speaking on her behalf.
And love would never go away.
So when you stood up, God didn't go, ah, no, not her, too late. Bah. Wouldn't that have been some of His thundering voice? Just, no,
too late.
He didn't do that, did He? He's so excited that you came. Amen. I don't have that young man yet. You can come up here anytime. Let's pray, guys. Stretch your hands. First of all, Father, I just want to thank You for these two precious women, that they had the boldness, the courage, and the conviction to walk up here. And I thank You for giving us the gift of repentance and righteousness. Thanks for giving us the ability to change our heart and our mind when we hear Your voice. And most of all, thanks for receiving us when we do. God, You're good. Say this, say, Lord, I come to You tonight humbly and give You my life. I want You to be my Father, and I want to be Your girl. Forgive me of everything I've ever done. Wash it in the blood of Jesus and take it all away. I want to be brand new, and I want to be like You. So teach me to be like You. Take away the old thing and begin to teach me the new. Holy Spirit, I welcome You. Come inside of me. Make Your home in me. I'm not praying just to go to heaven, Lord. I want heaven to come into me. So I'm believing You for new life. I thank You for forgiveness. And I thank You for Your love. Grow me in Your love. And make me just like You. Amen. Amen. All right, come here. I'm going to pray over you real quick. Can I do that? I'm going to pray over you real quick. Father, what's your name?
Anastasia.
Anastasia. I just bless her, God. And I feel like this. I heard this in my heart that tonight's a good night for you, even beyond and above what we just experienced. I feel like God's changing you emotionally. He's taking away some fears, some apprehensions. I'm not sure what they're from, but I just see God putting a strength in your emotions and a strength in your soul. I feel like He's going to make you at peace at nighttime, total peace at nighttime, and no fear of being alone. I just see God making some things that used to be weaknesses, turning them totally around and making them strengths. And I feel like I'm going to be bold and just tell you that the Lord has shown me you don't need counsel in those areas. You will see the fruit of change starting tonight. There's just a difference in your emotional makeup and some of the ways you experience life and things and dealt with things. God is changing it by His Spirit right now. And I feel like He's making you strong in some ways that you would have said you were very weak. And I feel like the Lord's doing that in His great love for you. So, Father, I bless Anastasia and I thank you for this truth. And God, I just thank you that you give her revelation upon revelation and keep teaching her, and let the joy of salvation flood her heart and encourage her every day, and let it never stop, never wane, never go away. Let it increase more and more in your great name, Jesus. Amen. Okay? Make sense to you, some of that? Okay. I pray for you, okay? Just have a real heart for you. Something good's going on. Do you get that God didn't call you up here because we're bad girls and boys? We're created to be like Him, and He's calling us to Himself. Amen? That's why it's so easy for love to never fail. So like on your darkest day, on your most willful decision, God doesn't say, oh, she just breaks my heart, or oh, she makes me so mad. Here's what God does. He says, oh, you're so much more than that. Oh, I know who you are. One day you'll see who you are. See, love just keeps calling you to truth. Love never fails, never lets go, never gives up, never says, oh, it's you. Love says, oh, it's you.
You get it?
What's your name?
Nastia.
What is it?
Nastia.
Nastia? That's beautiful.
You're the only one I know.
I'm going to pray for you, okay? Do you know what I see happening to you tonight? A real liberty, and I hear the word restoration. Like God's going to take some things away that you think about a lot, that you thought about. God's just going to restore some things. I feel like He's taking some regrets. I feel like He's going to heal you and make you real strong emotionally and give you the ability to not go back there, not look back there, not live back there. I feel like God's doing a clean sweep in you tonight, and He's pulling you out and into Him. And there's nothing to fear. Ain't nothing back there going to get you. And I'm telling you, ain't nothing back there that's going to sneak up on you. God, I'm telling you, God's going to see to it. And I feel like He's giving you the ability tonight to just do this. I'll act it out as flaky as I look sometimes. Just, you'll get it. Like to just go, and actually really be okay. He's telling me to tell you to not be afraid to believe you can be okay. Because you called to be okay. He's going to start giving you wisdom to make better choices. He's going to teach you how to have healthy relationships. I'm telling you, God's doing it. He's making your life, I hear this, attractive. I mean, attractive. I ain't talking about some guy-girl thing and some guy going, whoa. I'm talking about beautiful in Him. Amen? Insecurities and esteem and that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, I'm going to lay hands on you. God's coming. He's going to rock you. It's going to be so good. I'm telling you, I see God doing something inside of you. And I'm excited for it. And I feel like He's giving you strength, like I said to her. But to believe this gospel, to never look back, to not go there, and have a better view of yourself, and through that, have a crystal clear view of others. I'm telling you, your whole world's changing tonight. I see it by the grace of God. And you don't have to be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid. I don't know if I can do this. God will help you because you want Him to.
You get it?
Okay. Father, I just thank you. And I just bless Nasia. And I just thank you, God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and do all these things that I just ask. And most of all, when I lay hands on her, I ask that knowing. That's right. That knowing to just come into her. That she's forever your girl. That it is possible to be forgiven and to be free. It is possible to let go of regrets, of heartbreak, of misunderstandings, even those mysteries of life that try to define you, those things that you didn't understand. In fact, there's sometimes there's things that we don't understand, and it even gives us an attitude towards God. And God's saying, hey, I've only been here to love you, to help you. You talk to me, you to pray to me. In fact, there's a couple questions in your life I feel like will just go away in the beauty of knowing Him. And there's some things God will begin to answer and show you. But I assure you of this. God loves you. God knows you. And He's excited to receive you. Holy Spirit, come inside of her right now. That's good. And just fill her more and more and more with revelation, understanding, and wisdom. God, I thank you right now. You touch the core and depth of her emotions, of her soul, and of her mind. Thank you. Go in there, God. Do what only you can do. And bring that freedom. Bring that joy unspeakable. Bring that healthy, solid place.
God, I thank you. A week from now, she'll say, I am rocked. I'm different. She won't even have to tell the ones around her. They'll say, girl, I just thank you, God. It's a brand new girl, a brand new woman of God. You're a woman of no return. I call you a woman of no return. And I mark this night as a night of destiny pursued and everyday destiny fulfilled. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Grace of heaven, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come here.
Okay. Feels good, doesn't it?
Okay. I can't do what I was going to do. It's 10:15. I got to quit. We'll be back tomorrow. We can do it later, but I'm going to do this quick. It won't be ineffective. This isn't a trap question. Just who's coming back tomorrow? Is there some people coming back tomorrow? Good. So that's a lot of folks. I didn't run you off. You're not lying, right? Revelation says you lie, you fry. So don't just raise your hand because the pastor asked a question.
Just saying. You don't want to fry. We don't want a bunch of friars.
Listen, we're going to do this. It won't be ineffective. I have a way that I teach this out, and we'll do it. I'm sure we'll do it tomorrow. I just don't want to take the time right now. I feel like I need to leave people go. But I want to pray for the sick. We're going to pray corporately for the sick right now. And it won't be ineffective. God's going to do things all over the room. I'm not going to take a lot of time with it. Tomorrow, we'll be able to catch up and pick up where we left off. And we'll probably be able to testify and we'll find out. So here's what I'm telling you. When we pray for the sick tonight, whether you have something that you won't know or something you do know. Like some people, if they were healed, they wouldn't know it. Time has to tell. Say you get three migraines a week for the last 2 years, but you don't have one. You've just got to stand up in faith when they pray, right? And you won't really be able to testify, wow, I was healed, except for maybe the knowing of your heart, or I just know I'm healed, right? But you really need time to reveal that. There's other people that have arthritis all through their body, and they would know they're healed because they can move like they couldn't move. Do you get that, what I'm saying? Tomorrow we'll take more time with what God did tonight. Tonight we're just going to pray for you corporately. And I don't do this rarely, but I'm going to do it tonight. I just feel it's all right. The more I'm talking, the more I'm okay to do it. I'm not getting stopped. So if you're sick in any way, need healing in any way in your body, stand up so that we know who you are. And if you want us to pray for you, Tim, you just let me know. Are you in this? Good. So stand to your feet. Now listen. Don't think this is rhetorical. Don't think this is end of service ministry stuff. Don't dishonor with a quick mind like that the finished work of Christ and the work of Holy Spirit. You don't even realize what you're doing. You say, well, I've been through that before. I'm not praying. Nothing ever changes. Please stand up for sure if that's what you were thinking. Because there's one reason God heals. It's because he loves us and he accomplished it through Jesus. It's not because I'm anointed, I'm gifted, and it's not because you or I prayed right. It's not the right moment, right time. I know we say all that stuff in the church. It's just you and I growing in this unshakable, timeless truth that he loves us through his son. Through his blood, he paid for sin committed, for the fall of man, period. In his body, he paid for the penalty that it brought to humanity and every dysfunction. So tonight, we're going to eat of the flesh and drink of the blood and receive life.
Did you get it?
It's just going to be good. Simple prayer. I'm going to pray it. When I'm done, whether you do or don't feel a symptom, because tomorrow we're going to walk this thing out and I'm going to ask and survey and find out what happened tonight. And then we're going to do this. I'm going to get to teach it. I'll be rushed if I do it now. We'll be real thorough. You okay with that?
Yeah.
We'll teach it out, man. And we'll have fun with it. And God will encourage our hearts. Tonight, what I want to do is pray for you. Whether you feel change, don't feel change, or wouldn't know for a while or whatever, we all tonight have the same response. And this is our response. After we pray, this is all I want you to do. I feel like in my heart, it's all the Christian's ever supposed to do. Is after we pray, Father, I so thank you, you love me. And God, I thank you. You make all things new and gave me life and give me life through Jesus Christ. Thank you. And you go to bed and you crawl in bed and that hip grabs you and you can't, and you're like, oh, and your mind says, boy, I was wishing I was healed tonight. As soon as that thing tries out, you say, Father, thank you for what you're doing in me. I so appreciate your spirit working in me. God, your love for me is unstoppable. and you crawl in dead.
You hear me? I could keep you here, I know you believe me, for hours.
Just telling you testimonies of that kind of faith and prayer, alone in a bed, in the midst of that symptom. It's always people when we pray. I'm telling you, tomorrow you'll find out when we pray, there's always people that immediately it changes. I don't always see that. I see some things don't change, but I don't say, I wonder why God didn't heal. I say, God, I said, thank you for releasing your kingdom and what you're doing in the people. God, thanks for bringing wholeness to our lives.
You agree with me tonight. You walk, whether you do or not, I don't know how to let go, so I'm agreeing.
But I would encourage you to do justice to your own emotions and soul and agree with me, because it's a happy place to live.
Amen? Are you all in?
There's a lot of people standing. If you're sitting by somebody that's standing, just touch them. Just release faith. I'm going to pray corporately, but let's pray together. If you're sitting and you have the access to somebody right now that's standing, just get to them. Touch somebody, man. Get active and just believe God in a second here that be healed in Jesus' name. In fact, that's all you need to pray over them. Just be healed in Jesus' name. So, Father, right now we just thank you for wholeness in this room. We just thank you that every sickness and every disease leaves because you're Lord, because you love people. Thank you for bringing healing to the bodies of your people, God. Every disease, every sickness, every weakness, every infirmity, you leave in Jesus' name. Just begin to thank God that he loves you, church. If you're standing for prayer, just thank God that he's finished that work. Father, I just thank you that you make all things new tonight. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you by the power of your Spirit that you sweep through this room, sweep through every body, every person, every soul. Begin to do a work that no man can do. Thank you. Because you are King and you are Lord. And your love never fails. Be healed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for recreating. I thank you for restoring. I thank you for taking away pain. I thank you that degeneration gets swallowed up. I thank you where there was bone on bone, there is no more bone on bone. I thank you, God, where there were headaches coming and going, they come no more. Father, where there was people that couldn't sleep, had to find a comfortable spot, I thank you, God, every place is comfortable. I just thank you, God, that healings are all through this room right now. No degeneration, no breakdown, that lie of aging, just breakdown. God, I just thank you that tonight you're fixing bodies and bringing life. Bring mobility, God. Bring strength. And bring wholeness. Jesus' name. Now, if we're praying for you right now and you were standing just from your heart, just thank you, God. You love me. You are doing a work in me. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. I rejoice in your love for me. And I thank you for restoration. I thank you for the healing of my body. I thank you for strength in my life. Just begin to thank him in Jesus' name. Let's all lift our hands right now to him, would you? Father, we just love you. We receive from you. We respond to your word tonight, and we receive your grace and healing in our bodies. And we just thank you for being good. Forever keep our hearts encouraged and strengthened. I thank you, God, your grace is able to keep us from stumbling. And I thank you, you'll keep us forever in that grace, God. In Jesus' name, we rejoice in you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Pastor.